Goethe said something very interesting, you know, in Mephisto. There are two souls inhabiting my chest. Yeah. One is the devil and the other one is, you know, is the light. Yeah. Lungta Mahabho said the same thing. There are two forces in our chitta. Yeah. The darkness and the light. Yeah? The darkness is avijja. With the fangs of avijja, they are called kilesas. Yeah? And the light is the Dhamma. Yeah? And these two forces, you know, try to sit on the throne. Yeah? They constantly, you know, throw each other off, you know. Once the kilesas, you know, avijja sits on the throne, it has complete control over the five khandhas. What are the five khandhas? It's the body, it's feeling, it's memory, association, it's thought and consciousness. They control it, yeah, because they have the power. They sit on the throne and have the power over the five khandhas. So they can create anything, you know, within the five khandhas. And that's the same thing when the Dhamma, yeah, sits on the throne. I mean, it does create, you know, it uses the five khandhas. They are tools, yeah, to progress in the way of Dhamma, yeah. And these two forces constantly fight each other, yeah. Some people, you know, are completely obsessed with the kilesas, you know. There's hardly any Dhamma. For us, you know, I mean, sometimes the Dhamma sits on the throne, yeah. Or, you know, the kilesas, or they share the throne, you know. So nobody really has complete control over the five khandhas. Yeah? And that is what makes all the difficulties in our practice, yeah. So we have to develop the Dhamma, yeah, and get rid, you know, or diminish avijja, diminish the darkness, yeah. I mean the light, you know, the more there is light, you know, it destroys the darkness. The more there is Dhamma, it destroys, you know, it destroys the kilesas and avijja. Yeah? And that is the way of practice that we need to go. Yeah? Look at us, you know, I mean, we are afraid of pain, you know, we don't want to understand what is pain, yeah. We are afraid, you know, I mean, fear. I mean, look at the world, you know, I mean, they're reined in by fear, yeah. Remember 2 or 3 years ago, the fear of COVID, we all die, yeah. So, if you don't take the chap, you die. If you take the chap, you die as well, yeah. If you don't put on the mask, you get COVID, yeah? You don't get COVID, yeah? But we put on the mask and got COVID, yeah? I mean, the fear reigns us in and we follow it because we don't want to die. The fear of death, yeah? The fear of pain, yeah? Makes us completely, you know, go the wrong way, yeah? There's a saying, you know, fear is never a good advisor. But that's how people, you know, that's how people are reined in by the powerful. Now the COVID is gone. Now they need another fear. The fear of the Russians invading Europe, yeah. Or the fear of this or that, you know. I mean, the fear of the world coming to an end. It won't come to an end, not at least in the next millennium, in the next 10,000 or 100,000. Or 200,000 years, yeah, will not come to an end, yeah. But we will come to an end, yeah. Once we reach, you know, once we reach the end of our lifeline, we come to an end, yeah. Well, once we reach our, you know, our karma, yeah, that makes us born as a human being, you know, and the same kind of karma makes us die, yeah. So when we are born, you know, I mean, we have a certain amount of time left before we die, yeah? And the karma regulates that, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know, people, you know, who in the previous lives you never harmed any living being will have a long life. That is the karma, yeah? So they will have a long life, no matter what they do. Yeah? Even if they become very evil, yeah, and murder a lot of people, they still will have a long life, yeah? But in the next life, they will have a very short life. Yeah? And that is something that we should remember. Yeah? Don't be afraid of anything. Yeah? And don't let other people, you know, rein you in with fear. Yeah? And do things that are not wholesome to our life. Yeah? And let us develop, you know, the Dhamma, yeah? Let us realize in the Fourth Noble Truth, yeah? What is the First Noble Truth? Is dukkha. What is dukkha? Discontent, dissatisfaction, disease, pain, suffering, yeah? It's not only suffering, yeah? A lot of things, you know, have been mistranslated into English. No, it's not suffering, yeah? It's disease, yeah, and we are not comfortable with it. That's already dukkha, yeah? In the First Noble Truth, there is dukkha, yeah? And we don't realize the dukkha. When we're hungry, it's dukkha of the body, yeah? when we are sleepy, it's the dukkha of the body, yeah? When we are tired, yeah? When we need to go to the toilet, it's the dukkha of the body, yeah? When we are thirsty, you know, it's the dukkha of the body. And all what we do in our life, I mean, we get rid of the dukkha, yeah? But, you know, when we are hungry, we eat, you know, when we're thirsty, we drink, you know, and when we're tired, we sleep. Oh, so, yeah? That is the way out of dukkha. That's what we think. That's what we believe. It's not the way of dukkha, yeah? That's the dukkha of the body, yeah? And the dukkha of the heart is much worse, yeah? The dukkha of the citta, yeah? I mean, we don't like this, we don't like that, we want this, we want that, we want to be or we don't want to be. That is the dukkha of the heart, yeah? And it's constantly there, yeah? I mean, we see something, we don't like to see it, you know, or we want to change it, you know, because we don't like the way it is, yeah? We don't like the way that other people behave, we don't like the way that we behave, yeah? That is, the cause for our dukkha of the heart comes from our attachment, comes from tanha, from the desire, wanting something or not wanting something. Yeah? That's the dukkha of the heart. Yeah? And there is not a moment in our life where we are not, you know, somehow restless, you know, and get up, you know, now we need to drink something, now we need to walk, now we need to stretch, now we need to do this and do that. I mean, there's constant movement. Yeah? There's never any time, you know, where we sit comfortable and are just happy with the things, the way things are. Why can't we be happy? It's so hot, it's too cold, it's too humid, it's too this. Never. Yeah? It's too dark, it's too light, you know. There's never any time, you know, in our life where we are happy with the way things are. Yeah? So we have to learn it. We have to learn to be, you know, contented with the way things are. And when we are contented, there's no dukkha. It's the same thing, you know, when we train samadhi. Yeah? When we train samadhi and replace all the thoughts, you know, and all the memories that come up, yeah, while we stick with our breath or while we stick with the Buddha and replace them with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah, until there is no more thoughts and no more memories coming up, we are happy. We are contented. So easy, it is so easy, yeah? But until we get there, you know, there's so much dukkha, yeah? The body doesn't sit right. Or we think about the meditation. This is not right, you know, we should sit like this, or we should do it like this, or we should do it like that, you know, constant. It's a whirlpool, yeah? It's a whirlpool of thoughts, yeah? Instead of realizing the instruction for meditation, it's very simple. If I'm with the Buddha or if I'm with the breath, I'm correct. I'm on the right path. No matter how the body is, no matter how the breath is, we don't need to try to make the breath very calm or very quiet, yeah? I have seen so many people, you know, I mean, sitting, yeah, when I was, you know, in the monasteries in England, sitting there, calm, yeah? And then suddenly, yeah? I mean, that is not the way. We want to observe the breath, yeah? We want to observe every detail of the breath, yeah? We don't want to make the breath. We don't want to stop the breath. We don't want to make it calm. We don't want to make it rough. We just want to know how the breath is, yeah? And the best way to learn how to observe the breath or the Buddha, yeah, is to observe animals, yeah? here in the forest, you know. I mean, we can observe ants, or we can observe, you know, the squirrels, you know, that run around, or even the dog. We just sit there and observe. We don't have to think about what they do. We know the moment we observe them, we know what they do. That is inherent within our, you know, within our chitta, this knowingness. And this knowingness we have to develop. Yeah? And people really do not understand. They develop concentration, but they don't develop this knowingness. Yeah? And the knowingness is the sati. Yeah? This knowingness, to develop this knowingness of the breath. Yeah, I mean, know that the breath, how the breath is, that it is in-breath, that it is at the beginning, that the end, that it is a mid. Yeah, knowing this. Or the Buddha is fast, the Buddha is slow, the Buddha is detailed, yeah, or the Buddha is deep, you know, or the Buddha is, you know, just on the surface. Knowing, yeah, that is the important thing that we need to develop. Of course, we need to be able to concentrate on the object we take, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. We need to be able to concentrate, yeah? And when the moment, you know, thought comes in, we return back, yeah? And that's where we need the strength. We don't have to force the Buddha, or we don't have to force the breath. We have to force the mind to go back to the object of attention, yeah? And that is so difficult, yeah? That's what makes, you know, most of our fight during our meditation of samatha, yeah? So, the knowingness, that is called sati, yeah? Or, you know, I translate it as awareness, yeah? In the English, you know, English literature, it's called as mindfulness, yeah? But it's not mindfulness. The mind is not full. When you have sati, the mind is empty. Just the opposite, yeah? The mind is completely empty of any occupation. It just knows, yeah? Mindfulness, we can be very mindful of walking. I'm so mindfully walking. I'm so mindfully eating. I know, you know, I'm in my hand. Yeah, that is mindful, yeah? Mindful of one thing. But sati is mind emptiness. The mind just knows, yeah? Or the chitta just knows. Yeah? And that is so difficult for us, yeah? We cannot let go. We cannot let go of trying to control the breath, or control the Buddha, or control our knowing. Yeah. So we try, you know, and try and try, and that is not the way. Yeah. We just want to know. Yeah. So when you're here in the forest, you know, I mean, observe the animals, and then take this observance to observe your breath or to observe the Buddha. Yeah. We know how the breath is at every moment. Yeah. And once we get concentrated, once we enter samadhi, when there is no more thoughts and no more memories, there is no future and there is no past. There is no fear. Yeah? There is no loneliness. That's what we are longing for. Yeah. And then we can rest. Then we can rest in peace. You know, it is like opening the door to a glass house. Huh? Ah, it's nice and cool. Yeah. Most of the people, you know, it's nice and cool, and then they close the door in front of their nose, yeah? And then they open it, nice and cool, yeah? At the end of the meditation, they say, oh, it was such a nice meditation, but I'm so tired, yeah? No, you open the door, you go in, close the door behind you, and then you rest, you know, for the amount of time, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, or maybe half an hour. When you come out, you feel concentrated and you feel refreshed. That is always a sign that we have been actually entering samadhi. When we are concentrated, when we are refreshed, when we have energy. That is a sign when we have entered samadhi. And yeah, if you just are close to samadhi and now open the door and close it, you know, in front of you, yes, it was a nice meditation, but you are very tired, you know, that means you have not entered samadhi yet. Yeah. So, let it be, you know, let it be a memory that, you know, that sticks with you. We can then even go deeper. Once we are in samadhi, we still observe the breath, yeah, or we still observe the Buddha, yeah, how it is, yeah. I mean, the Buddha in this stage becomes like a can become like a chant in a cathedral. We just listen to the Buddha. Yeah? That we have tried to install for so many hours, so many months, so many, years, I mean, now we can listen to it and, enjoy it. Yeah? Or the breath, we can enjoy the breath. We don't feel the breath anymore, but we know the breath. Yeah? And then we go deeper and deeper, and the world, the outside world seems to disappear more and more and more and farther away. Even then, not only the world seems to be disappear, the sounds that are very, very predominant, in the beginning might be very predominant, in the beginning, seems to disappear. Then our body seems to disappear, I mean, we are not aware, we are aware of the breath, we are concentrating, we are aware of the breath, but the body seems to disappear until there's only one point left, and that is the point around the citta, So we still know, I mean, the more we concentrated, the more we concentrate on the breath, or on the Buddha, I mean, the less we become aware of the body and the surrounding. It can even happen, it happened to me, that, you get so concentrated that you don't know, you don't realize how you sit, I mean, the body gives you the wrong information because it doesn't have time to check all the positions of the body. So it tells you that your head is down, you're surprised, open eyes, and you sit straight. It's the wrong information because we take all the time, to concentrate on the breath, so that the body information is not correct. The position information is not correct, So we go on until the breath stops, And that is a difficult joint, that is a difficult step. Then we have to jump into the knowingness that knows that the breath has stopped. Yeah? But for most of people, fear comes up, So we should deal with the fear before that, Let the things disappear, whatever can disappear. And let's see what is left, So we jump into the knowingness, And then the whole world, the whole universe disappears. It is called, this is called the Apana Samadhi or deep state of Samadhi. It is called one-pointedness. I mean, duality is where we are aware of this, we are aware of the breath, that is duality. Once it merges into one point, once the observer and the object being observed merges into one, it is one-pointedness. And one-pointedness, no universe can exist in one-pointedness. There's only this deep knowingness, Lungda Mahabho called it Kwam Lulun Luan, this universal knowingness, The knowingness that doesn't know objects, It just knows, And then you go in, One moment you go in, you know that you go in, and the next moment you come out. But hours or even days can have passed before you remember going in and going out. That is what is one-pointedness. It is, it is a preview, actually. It's a preview of Nibbana. Anybody who wants to know, what Nibbana is about, then he can go into this preview. One-pointedness is a preview. It's not the real thing, It's different, it's different from Nibbana, but not much, I mean, it's a pretty good preview, And we can achieve it, Just with our training of samadhi, we can achieve, one-pointedness, where everything disappears. And you will be surprised. The first thought, when you come out of some one-pointedness, the first thought will be, I want to go back. Because the samadhi is so nice, it's so kind, but there are so many things still going on, The mind is not completely quiet, Once you go into one-pointedness, there's nothing anymore, There's just this deep knowingness, When you come out, you want to go back. That's the first thought, And if you've been long into this one-pointedness, when you come out, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you are, you don't know what you're doing, because everything has disappeared. Your whole personality has disappeared. And it takes, and then you will see, I mean, that is the amazing thing. Then you see how you, what you think you are, is created by your thoughts, by your memories. Yeah? And slowly, you know, it slowly comes up, you know. You open your eyes, you don't know where you are, and slowly the memory comes up, the thoughts come up, what am I doing here, yeah? And until you recreated yourself, yeah? That's why the Lord Buddha called, you know, self being an illusion, yeah? It is an illusion, you know, because it can disappear in the state of Apanasamadhi, yeah? And that is amazing, you know? But it is actually not absolutely necessary for our path, you know, to the end of dukkha. When we look at the Fourth Noble Truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha is sila, samadhi, panya. So sila are the five precepts, or when we're here in the monastery are the eight precepts, yeah, that we take, yeah, and we don't, you know, we don't give in to any of the kilesas who want to break the precepts, yeah. We take them and we don't never get rid of them. The next thing is the ability to train the mind, you know, in samadhi, be it with a Buddha, yeah, or be it Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha, whatever, yeah. Or, you know, observing the breath around the tip of the nose. Yeah. We don't follow the breath, yeah. We just stick, you know, our concentration around the tip of the nose. Know when the breath goes in, know when the breath goes out, and know, just like I explained. And the same thing, you know, with the Buddha, we install the Buddha. The Buddha is nowhere to be found. It's a mental, you know, it's a mental repetition of the word Buddha. So, I mean, we know Buddha, we have to install it, Buddha, 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 until it becomes automatic, and then we can observe it, yeah. Is it fast? Is it slow? Yeah. I mean, sometimes we want to make it fast because if there are too many thoughts coming in, then we say Buddha, 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 until, you know, the mind comes down, and then we relax, you know, we relax the same thing, yeah. Become slow. That is samadhi, and, you know, I mean, the ability to get into what is called upachara samadhi, where there are no thoughts and where there is no memories. That is important. Yeah. We cannot live without it. Yeah. It is our resting place, just like our body needs some sleep. Yeah. When we work all day long, 8 hours we work, you know, I mean, we need some sleep. Yeah. So is it the ability of entering samadhi for the mind to rest. Yeah? Once the mind is rested, it is energetic, and then it can do the work of panya, of wisdom. Yeah? And wisdom is developing, developing wisdom through investigation. Yeah? Investigation is very similar in the beginning like samadhi. We concentrate on an object. Yeah? Yeah? In this case, it is the body. We concentrate on the body, yeah, and then we ask questions about the body. Yeah, what goes in is nice, what comes out is disgusting. That is the question we're asking. Let us see. Yeah, or let us see what is under the skin. Yeah, when we remove the skin, do we still like this body? Do we still like to see it? Yeah, do we still like to hug another person who has no skin? Well, what is the question? What is the answer that comes out in the heart? No, we find it disgusting. So what is so beautiful about our illusion about the body? We have to destroy it. Yeah? We don't have to make the body, you know, like in the West. They don't want to do body contemplation because there's no need to make the body disgusting. That is not the thing. We see the body is disgusting. Yeah? Ask any doctor who opens a corpse, you know, I mean the first time. He will either throw up or will fall unconscious. He cannot face, you know, reality of the body. Because it's full of blood and pus and, you know, and shit and whatever, yeah. When you open up the body, yeah. The only thing, you know, that remains, you know, is the skin. Yeah? The skin protects us from this ugly side, yeah. If we remove the skin, we see the nature of the body. Yeah? Or if we investigate, you know, the food that comes in, you know, going into the stomach, you know, and then, you know, going into the intestines, you know, and then coming out at the one end, you know, how does it look and how does it taste in the beginning? How does it look and taste in the end? Yeah? It's disgusting. Yeah? Whatever comes out of the body, we find it disgusting. We don't have to make it disgusting. We find it disgusting. Yeah? We don't like our sweat. We don't like, you know, our socks, our shirts that we wear for a day or for 2 days, you know. We don't want to smell them. We put them in the washing machine. Because we don't want to smell the things that come out of the body. The sweat, the dirt, the, you know, the poo, the blood, you know, whatever. Yeah? Or the grease, you know, that comes into our hair. I mean, don't try not to wash your hair for 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know. I mean, you don't feel comfortable. Yeah? It's all greasy. It's all stick, you know. It's, yeah? Where does it come from? Not from outside. Yeah, we can hang our shirt outside and it will never stink. Yeah. But the moment we put it on the body, you know, wear it for one day, you know, it stinks. Yeah. So the investigation of the body is very important. Yeah. I mean, we have to destroy the delusion that the body is something, you know, something so desirable. Actually, you know, it is not desirable when we open it up. There's nothing to be desired in. Yeah? I mean, when we look at, you know, the bone, the flesh, you know, the intestines, the stomach, when we open up the stomach, when we open up the lungs, you know, we talk about it, in forms, you know, how it works together. Yes, it is amazing how it works together. Yeah, we built, you know. It's the same thing. We built this body over eons of lifetimes. Yeah, we perfected this body. Yeah? Just look, you know, just look how we built, you know, how we built and created, you know, this airplane. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, you know, when we look, you know, I mean, how many people, you know, were to create. But when you look at the first airplanes or when you look at the first cars, very simple, yeah. So was it with our body. It was very simple. But over the time, over lifetime, we developed it more and more and more. So, I mean, it became an amazing product, yeah. But, yeah, and we fall for it. We fall for our own creations, yeah. We create the future, you know, for instance, we create the future in our mind, and then we fall for it. But we, you know, sooner or later we realize that the future that we imagine to be never comes. We are constantly disappointed, yeah? So we create another future, yeah? And then we create another future. And we said, no, this was not the way it should be like this, yeah? And we are constantly disappointed, but we never notice it, yeah? We created this body, you know, because we find it, you know, so amazing, yeah? But we don't realize what it is made of. And that is, you know, I mean, that is where greed and hatred are rooted, yeah? Greed and hatred, you know, are completely rooted within the body, yeah? I mean, we like this about the body, we don't like this. We like the food that goes into the body, but we don't like the old food that comes out of the body, yeah? We call it shit, you know, or we, in Thai they call it, you know, the old food, yeah? Ahankar, yeah? We don't like it. Yeah, we don't like the smell of it. We don't like the color. We don't like the consistency, you know, yeah. We don't like to touch it. Yeah, the food we like to touch, you know. But what comes out, you know, out of the body, we don't like to touch. We don't like to smell, you know, to sweat, you know. Even the things, you know, that are in our mouth, you know. What is it called? Saliva, yeah. I mean, we put it in our hand and 5 minutes later we don't want to put it back. But it's there 24 hours. Yeah. So whatever comes out of the body is disgusting. Yeah. We don't have to make it disgusting, just, you know, just look at it. Yeah. It is disgusting. Yeah. And that is called the loathsomeness, yeah? Or asupa meditation. The loathsomeness, seeing the loathsomeness of the body. Yeah. And this seeing the loathsomeness of the body, you know, cuts down on our delusion about the body. Yeah? And the more we investigate this body, the less desire we have, yeah, the less greed and the less hatred we become. Yeah? That is cutting down on greed and hatred. And it is, yeah, please remember that it is the only way how to cut down on greed and hatred. Of course, yeah, I mean, we can train ourselves not to give in to greed and hatred, but it doesn't make it disappear. The only way how to make it disappear is to investigate, to develop panya, wisdom, yeah? Know the body, yeah? I mean, the moment you see, yeah, it is like, you know, it is like with a sexual drive, you know, you see a beautiful woman, the moment you take off the skin, you don't want to see her. Yeah? You don't want to have anything to do with her. You don't want even to go close to her. Yeah? You see the reality. And the moment your sexual desire stops instantly. Yeah? What monks need to use constantly, you know, I mean, because the sexual drive is the strongest drive, you know, in the human race, yeah? I mean, look at the world, you know, I mean, it's completely, yeah? Be it in Thailand, be it in the West, you know, I mean, sexual, you know, sexual craving, you know, it's enormous, yeah? And why should we be, as monks, you know, be not taken in by it? So we need a method, you know, how to cut it off, yeah? And that is the way, asupa is the way to cut it off, yeah? You see something and you see something desirable and then you turn it into something that is ugly, so you don't want to desire it, yeah? But when you turn into something ugly, you know, the hate comes up, yeah? That's interesting. Eh? The moment you turn something, you know, you turn something that is desirable into something ugly, hate comes up. Yeah? And then we turn it back into something that is desirable, so lust comes up. Yeah? And then we turn it back, you know, until you understand, you know, that it has nothing to do. Yeah, it has only to do with the object of the mind. Yeah, but that is the last stage of investigation of the body. Before we have to see it, you know, we have to take it apart. Yeah. I mean, we have to take it apart, you know, we close our eyes, you know, and cut off all the parts of the body, you know, the arms, the legs, the fingers, you know, whatever, yeah. Put it all in a heap or put it orderly, you know, whatever. So, what of the part, you know, which part of the body? Is the brain the body? Is the heart the body? Is the lungs the body? Is the stomach the body? Is the intestines? Is the legs? You know, what is it? It's just part. So you assemble it and then you have a body. You disassemble it and you don't have a body. Yeah? And who sits there and sees the body part? The citta. Yeah? Because the citta, as I said, you know, before, I mentioned before, the citta is not part of the five khandhas. The five khandhas are the body, yeah, feeling, memory, association, yeah, thought, short form of thought, and consciousness. There's no citta in the five khandhas. The citta is the one, you know, who commands the five khandhas, yeah? And as I said before, yeah? I mean, the two powers, you know, in the citta. There's the avicca and there's, you know, the dhamma, yeah? And we have to develop the dhamma, we have to develop this understanding. If we don't develop this understanding, the wisdom, you know, I mean, we cannot cut loose, yeah? If we attach to this body, if we are worrying about the body, oh, it's sick, you know? I mean, everybody of us, you know, has gone through sickness, yeah? And if we are really sick, you know, I mean, we think we die. Huh? It's a normal thought that comes up. Oh, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. You know, five days later, we are completely healthy again. Nobody thinks about dying, yeah? It's like, you know, I mean, you have a car, you know, I mean, and it's not working. You put it in the garage. After 3 days, you will get it back. You know, it's working fine, yeah? But you're worried, you know, because does it take me to my work, you know, and because it's breaking down constantly. So you give it to the garage, you know, I mean, after 3 or 4 days, you know, you get it back and it's driving perfectly fine. It's the same with the body. The body is a tool, yeah? It's one of the tools, yeah? It's like, you know, I mean, the body is just like a car, yeah? We hop in, you know, we are born in the body, you know, we die in the body, so we believe we are the body. But we are not the body. The moment, you know, we close our eyes and cut off all the parts of the body and look, do it in front of us, I mean, who's sitting there seeing, you know, or knowing the body part? It's a citta. It's a control center of the, yeah, of the five khandhas, yeah. This is, you know, this separation, that the body is not me, and the body is not mine, the body is not myself, yeah? I mean, this separation is one of the key factors or key fetters, you know, I mean, that we need to cut off in order to go even to the stage of Sotapanna. Yeah? There are three fetters that we need to cut off. The fetter of doubt. Doubt that there's heaven, doubt that there's hell, doubt that there are beings in heaven, doubt there are beings in heaven, doubt that there's karma. Doubt that there is good karma or bad karma and the results of good karma and the results of bad karma. Yeah? Most of the people in the world, you know, I mean, already, you know, struggle with the first fetter, yeah? Because they don't believe in heaven, they don't believe in hell, they don't believe in karma. Hmm? What is the second fetter? The second fetter is, you know, I mean, not keeping the precepts, keeping the precepts, not keeping the precepts, keeping the precepts. That's the second fetter, yeah? And the third fetter, yeah, is, you know, that seeing the body as me, myself, yeah, and mine, yeah. And one of these exercises, you know, can distance ourselves. So we see, or you can get out of the body and look at the body if you have the ability, yeah. Get the chitta out, you know, oh, that looks like me, huh? Oh, that's an interesting thing, you know, lying on the floor, yeah. What is that? Oh. That looks like me, yeah? So the chitta sees the body, yeah? So it knows it's not the body. It's something that it doesn't belong to the body or doesn't belong to the khanda. That is the way to Sotapanna, yeah? And if you investigate, you know, investigate the body even more, see more the loathsomeness, that decreases, you know, our hate and it decreases our greed, yeah? The more we understand the true nature of the body, yeah, the true nature of the body, I mean, it decreases. Until, you know, I mean, until we finish, you know, we see the game of desire and hate, you know, how they are created, because desire and hate are two sides of the same coin. Yeah? We can turn desire into hate and we can turn hate into desire. It depends on how we look at a coin. We can see head, yeah, when we look at it head, oh, that's nice. We can see the tail, oh, that's not so nice. Yeah? But it's the same coin. Yeah? So we have to understand that. Yeah? And if you completely understood it, you know, we can attain to anagami, somebody who doesn't come back, a non-returner. Yeah? And with this I end the talk, yeah? I hope you understand a little bit, yeah? I thought, you know, for the last, you know, I mean, nearly half a year or a year, you know, couldn't give any talks, you know, there was, yeah? I thought my Dhamma has completely disappeared, you know, gone somewhere, you know, but actually was just sleeping somewhere. Yeah? It needed to be awakened, yeah? So somebody has awakened it, you know, and then it comes out, yeah? And now, you know, and then it goes back to sleep, you know, until somebody else comes and awakens it. Okay? Yeah. That's it for today. Use the time, you know. I mean, if you're here only for a short time, use the time wisely, yeah? And practice, yeah? Practice as much as you can, yeah? And just a little bit more. Each time a little bit more. Just 1 minute more, 5 minutes more, and investigate the body. Yeah, we don't like to see it. Yeah.